Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the lesson just read, and we'd like to focus on its concluding two verses. My son, Technon, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The parable of the prodigal and of his elder son have captivated the church throughout the centuries. The story is elegant in its simplicity. At the same time, its simplicity is joined to a profundity that calls us over and over again to enter its world and to receive its claim. Reflect for a moment with me on the moves that come so quickly to us. Can any of us fail to identify with the prodigal? Authentic reflection surely drives us to say that we are no better than he. How comforting this text becomes for all of us prodigals. Perhaps it takes a bit more effort, but authentic reflection should similarly drive us to say that we are there as the elder brother as well. Our attitudes have paralleled his. What comfort also comes that the father keeps him in the household as well. Ponder for a moment, if you would, that at points the character of the younger and of the older brother have a common and corrosive core. The prodigal, on the one hand, believes the relationship to his father has been ended by his profligate behavior. The prodigal's elder brother, on the other hand, believes that the relationship has been secured and sustained by his pious behavior. From Adam and Eve to the present, this performance view of our relationship to God comes naturally to every generation. It comes naturally to you, it comes naturally to me. The dogmaticians call this dark inclination the opinia legis, the thought and assumption that we can create and define our relationship to God. We live in a culture that tugs and pulls us towards this assumption of the two brothers. We are so busy with our tasks, and for the summer Greek class with tests. Could it be that those who are doing well in Greek, that for them there's a temptation to feel like the elder brother? And could it be that those who are challenged by Greek are tempted to feel like the prodigal? Or for the rest of the seminary family, do meetings and projects and phone calls and emails and all those tasks begin to define who we think we are before God, our Father? In such a culture and environment, we need to dwell daily on the third figure in this narrative, namely the Father. Reflect on how consistently, how compassionately, how completely the Father remains the Father. For the younger and for the elder, he is Father. His fatherhood is prior to their performance. His fatherhood endures their performance. In the midst of tests and tasks, we daily come to this place to be with the Father, to be renewed, restored, refreshed, not by a task, but by a presence, not by a deed, but by a holy word. When we pass the baptismal font, we pass the place of our birth. There in the holy waters of baptism, you were begotten to a sonship which endures. There you were joined to Christ, God's very Son. Now you are his children, his sons and daughters. And he remains your Father. In the face of your performance, he is your Father. And the Father's compassionate voice is heard in his Son as he continues to speak through his prophets and apostles. And what an opportunity to hear that voice in the original Hebrew and Greek, as seminarians are called to. Here at this altar, the Father prepares a banquet for his children, the baptized. For here they receive the very body and blood of his Son as certainty that the Father's compassion is forever and for all. It has been secured in that holy sacrifice. Is it possible, even for us, to become so busy with religion that the Holy and Blessed Trinity is subordinated to other agendas? Our productivity schedules will have to take priority. And so even in the household of faith, we can become so consumed with our goals that the Father is appealed to solely to get something done. You and I know where that subtle but idolatrous shift comes from. It comes from that opinion of the law, from that satanic deception. No, we are here not to get something, not even to appeal for something primarily, but we are here to worship. We are here to be God's children, not to do, not to achieve, but to be and to receive, to be the beneficiaries of his grace and his presence in Christ. And by the Father's being who he is, we confess that everything is his most holy work. He has made us his, and he keeps us his by his infinite grace. And in that confession, we can return to our tests and to our tasks, no longer to be dismantled and dismembered, deconstructed into pieces. No, by his grace, we will return whole. And we will show by our tasks and by our tests whose we are, the Father's sons and daughters joined to Christ and living every breath and every moment in him and at home in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God grant us to be his sons and daughters, and God grant us to receive his complete, compassionate presence, the enduring Father who always welcomes us to his home. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.